Good morning all who are listening to this podcast for our service on this Sunday, the 3rd of April. My name is Nick Durlacher and I will be leading this service this morning. I will be helped by Bill Roberts and Janet Miller, who will be reading our two Bible passages, and by Francis Blight, our minister, who will be teaching us from those passages. Francis will also be leading us in our intercessions. I expect most of you will be familiar with the way to get most out of these podcast services. But just in case it is your first, may I welcome you very warmly. You will find it helpful to have a Bible to hand and either a paper copy of the service sheet or to have it available on screen. Lastly, Ruth Reynolds has prepared some excellent material for All Saints Club, which can also be accessed from the church website. The theme of today's service is Back to Basics. Some, with long memories, might remember John Major's call to the Conservative Party of Back to Basics. Its meaning and its effect are somewhat lost now, at least they are on me. But for us Christians, however, it is a real and timely call. As John Bradley so helpfully reminded us last week, we can find it in just one verse of Peter's Passover address. Repent and believe. So, as we begin our time of worship, let me open with a prayer. Dear Lord, as we come before you this morning at a time of great change and uncertainty, we want to thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who is the same yesterday and today and forever. So now we come to our first song, Give Thanks with a Grateful Heart, the words of which are on your service sheet.
Give thanks with a grateful heart, give thanks to the Holy One, give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ, His Son.
Jesus Christ, His Son, and now.
Lord, as we think about back to basics this morning, we confess how slow we are to give thanks, how often our hearts are cold, ungracious, and ungrateful. Let us pause to consider for a moment how far short of God's perfect law our lives are. So now let us join together in the words of the confession, as printed on the notice sheet. Lord God, we have sinned against you, we have done evil in your sight, we are sorry and repent. Have mercy on us according to your love, wash away our wrongdoing, and cleanse us from our sin. Renew a right spirit within us, and restore us to the joy of your salvation, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Lord, we thank you that through faith and repentance we are forgiven and made righteous in your sight. Amen. Now, before we come to our first reading, let me lead you in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Hello, everybody. The Bible reading this morning is taken from John's Gospel, chapter 10, verses 1 to 11 inclusive. It's entitled, The Good Shepherd and His Sheep. Very truly I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they'll run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate, whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God.
Before we come to our second Bible reading, which will be followed by Francis opening up the scriptures to us, I'm going to lead us in the Apostles' Creed, that back-to-basics foundation statement of our faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again, he ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
The reading is taken from Acts chapter 2, verses 41 to 47. And I'll give you a moment to find Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, reading from verse 41. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favour of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved.
Today's Bible reading from the book of Acts takes us back to basics on the subject of church life. I encourage you to have a Bible open at Acts chapter 2 as we prepare to study it together. Nearly 2,000 years have passed since Jesus' life, death and resurrection, and during this time his message of salvation has spread all over the world. This passage of scripture is great because it takes us back to the beginning, so that we can measure our church life today against the first Jerusalem church. And right now is a great time to do this. In response to Jesus' salvation message, a church building has stood in Fordham for over 800 years. The 8 Ash Green building is newer, from about 120 years ago. But at the moment, we're unable to meet inside either of them. We're listening to God's word online, worshipping in our homes and gathering on Zoom. So this is a great time to look back and to consider what is fundamental to church. This short Bible passage doesn't give us all the answers to that question, but it gives us some very important basics. So today we're going to ask, what did the first Christians do together? And what example do they give for a church's priorities today, especially during the current lockdown? Today's Bible reading and sermon followed directly on from last week's, so if you haven't heard John Bradley's talk titled What Shall We Do, you might like to listen to that as well. Let me set the scene. Jesus was executed by the Roman government. He was executed unjustly, without a proper charge against him. They killed him on a cross on a Friday afternoon. His disciples thought that his mission was all over. But to everyone's amazement, the following Sunday, he appeared to a number of them alive. And this was not an apparition or a dream. They gave Jesus a piece of cooked fish, and he ate it in front of them. 40 days later, he left them in an extraordinary way, rising up into the air and disappearing behind the clouds. We call this Jesus' ascension, and this will be our focus in a couple of weeks' time. Just a few days after that, God poured out his Holy Spirit in a special way on Jesus' apostles. Many Jews were gathered in Jerusalem for the Pentecost festival, 50 days after the Passover, and a large number gathered together in the Jerusalem temple to find out what was going on. the Apostle Peter preached a bold sermon, explaining that Jesus is the true Messiah. Amazingly, 3,000 Jewish people were baptized that day in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of their sins. Try to picture the scene in your mind. What does a crowd of 3,000 people look like? And how do you baptize so many all on the same day? Back in 2018, I attended the third Global Anglican Fellowship Conference in Jerusalem, GAFCON for short. In today's service sheet, there's a photo of the people who attended, just under 2,000 men and women from 50 countries. The photo is taken on the ancient steps into the Jerusalem Temple. And this is the location where it's believed that Peter preached this famous Pentecost sermon. On that day, 3,000 Jewish people accepted Peter's message, putting their faith in the resurrected Jesus as the true Messiah. So in the photo, you can see what a crowd of about 2,000 people looks like. You can also see the excavated remains of ritual bathing pools where worshippers would wash before entering the temple. You can see these in the bottom left of the photo and on the right in the centre. There are a number of different pools, and it's thought that these were where the 3,000 people were baptised. I'm looking at the photo now. Nick and Mary Durlacher were at the conference, and so were John and Mim Parker. I hunted for them in the picture, but there are so many people that I couldn't find them. It makes me smile to look at the photo because in 2018, I didn't know John and Mim, and I didn't know Nick and Mary at all. I never met them. But last year, God led me from Hilo in the Netherlands to become the minister here at All Saints. And now Nick is my church warden, and Mary is on the PCC, and John and Mim are preparing to begin a new church in Colchester under the Anglican Mission in England and GAFCON UK. The new church will be called Cornerstone Church. So this picture helps us to get a sense of the scale of what happened within Judaism that day 2,000 years ago. Today's Bible reading gives a brief vignette of what that original group of 120 plus the 3,000 converts did together. It's a rather wonderful picture of the fledgling church in a brief period before persecution broke out against them. This caused them to flee the city, scattering all over Judea and Samaria. You can read about that in Acts chapter 8. So what did the Jerusalem church do together? Let's have a look at the Bible passage. Acts chapter 2, verse 42. They devoted themselves to four things, which are listed here. The apostles' teaching, the fellowship, the breaking of bread, the prayers. Note the word devoted. This means that they gave themselves wholeheartedly to these four things. Let's look at this Bible passage under five headings and think about what it means for our church practice today, especially during lockdown. Firstly, the Jerusalem church was a Jesus-focused community. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings. This means they were Jesus-focused, learning about Jesus from his apostles, learning about Jesus' teachings, learning about the meaning of his life, his birth, his death, resurrection and ascension, and his promise to return as judge and saviour. Learning how he was the fulfillment of God's plans and promises, going all the way back to the Exodus from Egypt, going back to God's promise to Abraham, going back to Adam and Eve, and even to the creation of the world. When the book of Acts was written, the word apostle was a regular word for a messenger. It was used of people delivering all sorts of messages in different contexts. Jesus appointed 12 men to be his main messengers, his main apostles. Judas betrayed Jesus, and he was replaced by Matthias, who'd been with the apostles the whole time that Jesus was with them. All the apostles were eyewitnesses of Jesus, so we can trust their teaching today. But how do we get to their teaching nearly 2,000 years later? How can we devote ourselves to the apostles' teaching? Well, the answer is that the New Testament section of the Bible is the record of the apostles' teaching. This is one of the key reasons why the Bible is such a treasured book. The New Testament is fundamental for Christian churches today. And this is why, while we're not able to meet physically, we continue to listen to the public reading of the New Testament week by week in these podcasts. And we listen to sermons like this one, explaining and unpacking its meaning. This is why we're producing a weekly video on YouTube to teach children. We strive to have the New Testament at the heart of All Saints Church. Sometimes people talk about a church being apostolic. That word apostolic means different things to different people. But from Acts chapter 2, verse 42, we can see that a key way to be apostolic is to devote yourself to understanding the apostles' teaching recorded in the New Testament. So we want to follow the example of the first Jerusalem Christians by being a Jesus-focused church that learns about him from his apostles' teaching. Secondly, the fellowship and the breaking of bread. The Jerusalem church was a generous and connected community. Let me say that again. The Jerusalem church was a generous and connected community. The word fellowship translates an important Greek word, koinonia. At the time, koinonia was a very positive word. It was used to describe family relationships and healthy commercial and business relationships. It meant sharing with someone in something. But that sounds a bit bland, and I found it quite difficult to pin down in just a few words exactly what koinonia means. After all, what does the word fellowship mean? You may have an emotional sense of its meaning, but perhaps you'd struggle to describe precisely what fellowship means. Earlier in the Apostles' Creed, we said that we believe in the communion of saints. I think that this line in the Creed refers to koinonia fellowship. And the details of verses 44 to 46 flesh out its meaning. Here we see financial generosity within the church, the hospitality of opening one's home and sharing a meal. We see friendship and we see unity. Verse 44. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God. This is a wonderful and joyful picture. On the day of Pentecost, 3,000 people discovered that their longed-for Messiah King had finally come. This bonded the community so that they were willing to share generously and to open their homes. Now, it is important to recognise that the giving was voluntary. Our Anglican tradition actually has a position on the topic of private possessions in the church. It's in Article 38 of the famous 39 Articles, and you can find it printed in this week's notice sheet if you want to look at it later. Soon, an administrative structure developed for the fair management of this spirit of generosity. First, the gifts were brought to the apostles, chapter 4, verse 35. Then, as the load became too much for them, 7 deacons were appointed to administer the food distribution to widows. See Acts chapter 6. The Jerusalem church was a generous and connected community. And I want to make 2 applications from this for us during lockdown. Verse 45 says, selling their goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. And chapter 4, verse 34 says, from time to time, those who owned lands or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales, and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone as he had need. the PCC has set up a benevolent fund in response to the COVID-19 lockdown. This is a good and appropriate application of these Bible passages for the current moment. The purpose of the fund is to help if someone within the church family is severely impacted financially. We've set up a process for administering the fund. Now, the government has set up a furlough job retention scheme. And the New Testament also teaches in 1 Timothy chapter 6 that the first port of call for support is one's own biological family. But if hardship comes on members of our church, we hope that under God, we will be able to give them some help. It would be wonderful if at the end of this coronavirus season, we could say that there is no needy person amongst us. If you would like to contribute to the Benevolent Fund, the details of how to give are in the notice sheet. That's my first application. Secondly, I encourage you to make plans now to be ready to open your home when lockdown finishes, so that you can invite a few people from the church to come for a meal. Verse 42 tells us that the Jerusalem Christians devoted themselves to the breaking of bread. And verse 46 helps us to understand what that phrase means. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. Some people think that Luke is telling us that they devoted themselves to eating the Lord's Supper, the Holy Communion. However, breaking bread was at the time simply an expression for having a meal together. It was called this because meals began with a prayer of thanksgiving to God, as bread was broken and shared round the table. We see examples of this in Luke chapter 24, verse 30, when Jesus, after his resurrection, begins a meal by giving thanks and breaking bread with Cleopas and his friend. Then in Acts 27, verse 35, the Apostle Paul does the same thing. So breaking bread in this Bible passage means eating a meal together. The Jerusalem church devoted themselves to being a hospitable and connected community. The financial generosity and the fellowship of sharing meals are both marks of a loving community. This is what the Greek word koinonia is about. May our love for one another increase during lockdown, and may we grow in generosity and connectedness as a church. It is good that many of us are meeting on Zoom and talking on the telephone so that we can stay connected, but it isn't the same as sharing meals together with one another. We don't yet know how the government will phase the loosening of lockdown, but I hope we can organise a day when every member of the church family who wants to is in someone else's home sharing a meal together. I will speak on the final three points somewhat more briefly. Thirdly, they were a praying community. They devoted themselves to the prayers. The NIV translation says prayer, but the original Greek says the prayers. This may be because in verse 46, we're told that every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. So they were devoting themselves to public prayer with the new community. Back to basics, church involves meeting together to pray. And here we see one of the basic reasons for gathering together week by week on Sundays. It's to pray together. We always have prayers in the service, as we have in this podcast. And when we pray, we express our trust in God and our dependence on Him. So I invite you to join me to pray this coming Thursday from 7:15 p.m. via Zoom. I found that praying with others on Zoom works surprisingly well. In fact, I quite enjoy it. Praise God for new technologies which enable us to continue to meet together at this time. The Jerusalem church was a praying community, and they were also a miraculous and wonder-filled community. Verse 43. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. Jesus was famous for his miraculous signs. He calmed a storm by speaking. He walked on water. He healed many and raised a 12-year-old girl from the dead. But here we see that the miraculous signs didn't stop with Jesus. they carried on through his apostles. You can read about one of these miracles in Acts chapter 3. The Jerusalem church was a miraculous and wonder-filled community. There was a sense of awe amongst them at what God was doing. May God fill our church life with wonder and awe like this first church. May he not only protect us during the pandemic, but may he bring healing to the sick. The final feature that I want you to see is that God added new people to the original 3,000 on a daily basis. The Jerusalem church was a saved community. Luke ends his picture of the first church in verse 47 by writing, "And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved." We all know the government's helpful slogan at the moment: stay at home, protect the NHS, save lives. In the face of a new virus, which transmits rapidly and can kill, this is a noble mission statement. And staying at home is a way of loving our neighbours at the present time. But this picture of the Jerusalem church reminds us that back to basics Christianity has an additional kind of saving lives at its heart. Saving lives not just from death in this life, but saving lives from the second death that will come when Jesus returns to judge the world. We see in verse 47 that the work of salvation is God's work. The Lord added to the Jerusalem church daily those who are being saved. How wonderful it would have been to experience that then. May God do it again in our day. Let's be praying for an awakening of concern about matters of eternal life and death, and an awakening of focus on Jesus. If you would like to understand more about the way of salvation to eternal life that comes through Jesus Christ, then I invite you to join us for our next Christianity Explored course. We plan to run it online via Zoom, beginning in just over 2 weeks' time, on Wednesday, the 20th of May. Please contact the church office if you're interested. Well, let me summarise as I come to finish. The first Jerusalem church devoted themselves to four things: the apostles' teaching, the fellowship, the breaking of bread, and the prayers. And from this Bible passage, we see that they were a Jesus-focused community, listening to his apostles' teaching. They were a generous and connected community, giving financially to help one another and eating together in each other's homes. They were a praying community. They were a miracle and wonder-filled community. And they were a saved community. God added to the number daily those who were being saved. What a wonderful picture for our church to aspire to today. May God be at work in us, in our homes, strengthening us so that we may emerge from the lockdown a stronger church with increased love for one another. Let's respond to God's word with the song, "I Will Offer Up My Life," after which I will lead us in prayer. The lyrics are in the service sheet.
Jesus, what can I give? What can I bring to so faithful a friend, to so loving a King? Savior, what can be said? What can be sung as a praise of your name for the things you have done?
Let's pray together. I will end each prayer by saying, Lord, in your mercy. Please join in with the response, hear our prayer. And we'll finish by saying the collect together. So do have that ready. You can find it at the end of the service sheet. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this picture of the First Jerusalem Church. We pray that you will help us to remain a Jesus-focused church. And we pray that in our homes during lockdown, our focus will be on Jesus, in our families. We look to you at this time and put our trust in you. We say that we depend on you. You are our Lord and our Saviour. Please protect us as a community from the coronavirus. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We ask that you make us increasingly a generous and hospitable community. We pray that you would encourage us and help us to be able to give to the needs of others. Help us to open our homes. We dare to ask that you might work miracles amongst us to bring glory to Jesus' name. And we pray that the shaking of the nations that's going on at the moment will bring an awakening of concern regarding matters of life and death. We pray, please, that you would turn people in Fordham and Etash Green and these two villages to seek after your salvation. Heavenly Father, please save lives, both in this life and through faith in Jesus for eternity. Awaken our nation to Jesus Christ. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We lament the death rate in care homes at the moment. We ask for your help and protection. We pray for your help for those working in medical services at the moment. Please would you guard them. Please strengthen them in their work. We pray that your will be done. And we give thanks to you for Daphne Harvey, for the place that you gave her in the Fordham Village,
and also in our church community. We thank you for her life and her faith in you. And we ask that you will comfort her family and especially her daughter Rosie at this time of bereavement. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We ask that you sustain us during the lockdown. Listening to the news is sobering and depressing. We seek you for joy at this time, the joy that we need to sustain us. Thank you for the beauty of the May weather, for the clarity of the skies at day and at night. Give us joy in our relationships at home. We pray that you would deepen them. And lead us to find joy in our relationship with you and your sovereign goodness. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. As the process begins to recruit a new bishop for our diocese here in Chelmsford Diocese, we seek you for your help and your leading. We ask, please, that you would provide for us a godly man who wants to lead the church according to your word. Please provide for us, Father, for the hundreds of churches in this diocese, and particularly we ask you would provide for us that we would have a bishop who we can trust and who would lead us forward. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We finish our prayers by saying together the Collect Prayer. Almighty God, whose Son, Jesus Christ, is the resurrection and the life, raise us who trust in him from the death of sin to the life of righteousness, that we may seek those things which are above, where he reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
We are close to the end of our service now, but first, some notices. To begin, a sad message. Daphne Harvey, who lived and worshipped in Fordham for many years, has died. Further details of the funeral are in the notice sheet. Please keep her family in your prayers. This Thursday, we will be holding a Zoom prayer meeting, 7:45 to 9 p.m. Unfortunately, Kenneth Harrod from Release International has been furloughed and is therefore unable to join us this month. We plan for him to join in June. We will, however, be joined for this most important meeting of the month by Peter Dale, Director of Open Door Colchester, who will help us to pray for that ministry. Keep your eyes open for the electronic invitation. Don't forget the start of Christianity Explored. It is not too late to invite someone. Anyone interested should contact the church office for further details. As this is a Zoom course, they can live anywhere in the world, the only possible constraint being time zones. As has been the pattern, we will follow this service with a virtual coffee morning, starting at 11:30 and hosted by Gavin. Thank you in advance, Gavin. The web link and password has been emailed to the church family along with the attached service sheet. Lastly, a thank you to all involved in our regular lockdown services, and a big thank you to Julian, who coordinates the podcast so well. And now we come to a closing prayer. Dear Lord, as we heard this morning, the disciples of the early church continued to meet together. We thank you that in spite of the lockdown, we are able to continue to meet together, albeit virtually. Not only for this service, but for prayer and for growth groups. Lord, just as we rejoice at the way you continue to add to the early believers' numbers, so we pray that you will use us to add to those numbers now, not for our glory, but for yours. And we ask this through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord and Master. Amen.